Thank you, brethren, for joining together tonight to worship God and to study His Word. Certainly thank the Roushes for having us over tonight. I sure enjoyed getting to spend time with them and enjoy their hospitality. Good to see Brother Thomas and his wife with us. Appreciate his fine prayer so much. Appreciate his work through the years. Sound gospel preaching. Good to have him and good to have you all with us tonight. Did want to add one thing to the announcement about Brother Ross. They did end up having to do a surgical procedure today to insert a tube into his head to help alleviate some of the fluid. The nurses were saying that usually someone with this amount of fluid is typically already in a coma. And so Sister Ross said the prayers from everybody have been working, and she's been thankful for that. And then hopefully this will allow further drainage and that he'll be okay in time. Just keep praying for them and their faith. I know Sister Ross is such a good, strong woman. And just to hear her today say, God is good. God is good. And we might have the same attitude if we were to be found in such circumstances as well. Remember, no matter what, to trust God and that He is always good. He was always good. Well, on to our topic of the hour this evening. This topic of digital dangers is something that is so needed today. And this was actually a part of a series of lessons I did on parenting in Franklin based off the text of Malachi 2:15 that he seeks godly offspring. A reminder to us that God has blessed us with our children in order that He might receive them back one day. That our offspring would be His offspring. Like, in a sense, we're raising proverbial Samuels that would give them back unto God. And so there's a number of things that we must learn as parents to be able to do the best we can to deliver on our end of the bargain. And one of the lessons in this series, I dealt with digital dangers. Now, I grew up when computers were really starting to take off in their abilities. In high school, I was part of a technology information project program where we started to install some of the first networks in our high school, and then eventually we did the elementary schools as well. Being kind of raised in the Seattle, Washington area, it was on the mecca for tech kind of stuff. You have all the Amazon, the Microsoft, Expedia, Nintendo, all based out there. Of course, there's others like Facebook and Google that have offices out there. And so that's kind of the environment that I was raised in out there. I actually went to the University of Washington, and my degree is actually in computer science. I was this close to actually working for Microsoft instead of preaching. That close. I actually called them in the second interview and told them, I'm canceling the interview. I'm going into preaching. I actually told him that. So I'm going into preaching. It was one of those crossroads moments where you're trying to decide what shall you do with your life. And I just could not turn away the grand possibility to study God's eternal book for the remainder of the years He blesses me with. And so I'm thankful that that decision was made at that time. So I've been able to see through my life the great things that these machines can be harnessed to do for good. But sadly, wicked men have come along and found ways to harness them for evil. And we must not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so that is the why behind this lesson. We live in a digital age that is just not going to go away. And while technology has changed, it's important for us to understand that temptation has not. It just has a new form of presenting itself, but it's still the same old game that Satan seeks to work on us. The Bible tells in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, there's nothing new under the sun. No one can be able to say, see here, look, this is new in regards to the way that Satan seeks to work upon us. The Scripture says in James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. And when sin is conceived and is full grown, it gives birth unto death. That process still works all the same from the Garden of Eden down to our present day. So sexual temptations And dangerous predators have always been there. They just have new ways in which to lurk and to prey upon precious souls. They now have access to get your kid and to my kid without even opening a door or a window of our house. They can all be securely locked. And yet those predators can be within our children's homes or our children's rooms this very night. All brought to you by the new technology today. Again, as I reflect on my life, much has changed since the 1980s. You might recall some of these things up here. I remember the Walkman and the Discman, where you would be able to listen to music this way. Heavy, expensive computers were also a part of the house. They were so expensive and so big, you didn't have them for each individual room. They're out there in the living room, and everybody could be able to share the computers together. You might remember the first browsers that you could use to surf the World Wide Web. I remember Netscape Navigator was one that was used a lot in the beginning. Then, of course, you had the Nintendo's little 8-bit game system, little characters that seemed so innocent, so unlifelike in regards to the opponents or the enemies that you might meet within the game. You had cordless phones, and of course the base was still connected to the wall, but it was such a neat idea that you can walk around the house and actually talk to someone. About my college years is when the cell phones started to go mainstream and they were affordable for other people to have them in their lives. And I look back and I see this technology and just seemed so innocent. So much has changed today where now essentially you have a smartphone that is able to do all of those things and much, much more. In 2007 came the very first iPhone. And today, for the first time, over 50% of homes actually have smartphones. So whether you're rich or poor, young or old, most have it if they really, really want it. And on those, you can find and do much of anything that you'd like to. They can do anything that a computer can do. There's some families that would not have a laptop or a computer in the privacy of their own children's rooms. But they don't think about how the tablet and the smartphone is able to do that very same thing that a laptop could do. And the children can still access the very same things that could be accessed on a computer. We take lots of precautions to protect our families from danger. Car seats and locks and security systems. We like safe vehicles. But often we don't see the great danger right before our family and the technology that is surrounding us and the TVs and the computers, the tablets and the phones. Brother Dale Adams is a police officer in the Franklin area where I live. Some of you might recognize him. He's also a member of the Lord's Church at the West End congregation. Dale said, "Think twice about giving a smartphone to your child." He says, think twice. Make sure you have a plan before you give it to a teen. Not saying you can't have them, but you had better have a plan. How and when it can be used and what kind of access. If it is all unlimited, I believe you will have some trouble in the years to come. I appreciate Brother Dale's unique perspective on this particular topic and the various phone calls and the house visits he has to make. And in fact, he actually put together a very effective lesson on this topic from which I have borrowed some of his points and want to give him some credit for that. He has done some good material and good work in everyday life regarding this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So the Bible tells us that our adversary, he's not static. He's always moving, roaming and roving. And so we also have to be aware of that and be ready to understand the dangers that lie ahead and the change in technology. And look, he's seeking to devour us and devour our young. So verse 9 says, you resist him, how? Being steadfast in the faith. Friends, you and I, we only have a prayer of a chance to fight against Satan effectively if we are steadfast in the faith. If we're wishy-washy, if we're waffling around, we're going to lose and we're going to be devoured by him. So let us develop some spiritual strength and let us also be informed and notified of some of the dangers that lie before us. Now here ultimately is the outline of the lesson tonight. We're going to talk about the App Store dangers, the danger of internet pornography, the root of the problem, and also the lasting remedy. So without further ado, let us begin. Let's start with the App Store. Now, this I'm going to start with first because I think it's probably most applicable to Christian homes, and then we'll work towards internet pornography. Smartphones and tablets are app driven. Now, for those that may be older of age or don't have these kinds of devices, you might say, what is an app? Well, you look on the screen, it's the little squares on that phone. And one can press it, and it begins to run a program that pops up on the phone by which you can do various things. Now, there are some good apps. Some of you may be using them today. Bible apps. I actually used an app to create my outline, or even this chart right here is on Keynote, is what I made it on. And so the various tools that can be used for good. But at the same time, there are some bad apps, and we have to be aware of them. Turn to Romans 1 and verse 30. Romans 1 and verse 30. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. God was aware of people that had this appetite to make things that were evil. And in this list of those that have defiled themselves against God and set themselves against God, he says in Romans 1:30, he says that they are backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. God knew there'd just be people that would set out to make something that could be utilized in a way that wickedness might abound. They may not have started off with that intent, but eventually it becomes that intent and it's used that way. There are things that are invented that are going to be evil or used for evil. We must be aware of those inventions. And it's interesting, the next thing in the list, in verse 30 says, disobedient to parents. How applicable to our topic here. When parents are going to have to rise up and parent and say, no, you can't have this, or no, you can't use this, or no, you can't do that. That's part of our job as parents, to set the standard, to set the rule. And then the children's part is to obey. We are ones that are supposed to be older, more possessed in wisdom, to understand the dangers that lie ahead. They may not see that, being very short-sighted. So we set up the rules. We can maybe see the inventions that have been invented that are evil. And then children have to obey. And if they don't, God says, those children that are disobedient to parents fit in the same list as well. That's ungodly. That's unholy. That's not right. We need to see things through the lens of God, through His eyes. And He sees those children that are not willing to submit to their parents and their rules and regulations they have for their home. God says this is not a good, healthy appetite to live with, and it will be cancerous to their souls. So let's talk about some of these devices that are used and some of these apps that are used that can be harnessed for danger. Now, you might think I'm going to start off with Facebook. I'm actually going to say very little about Facebook. It's actually known as the old person app. Did you know that? The young people don't like Facebook anymore. It's just what older people use. Especially, they snicker at the ones that call it the Facebook. Right? The Facebook. What do you mean? It's Facebook. You know, but there's some of us that are just behind the times, and that's how we refer to these apps. It's very rarely used by younger folks nowadays. More and more are using Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. In fact, Dale Adams said that Snapchat was number one for teens as a sexting app, where they have sex talks and sex pictures. And he said, law enforcement hates it. Its concept is that the pictures and messages are there just for a few seconds, and then it disappears. So that a parent wouldn't be able to pick up the phone and look and see what it is they've been Snapchatting about. It would have already been long gone since that time. And so there is a great digital danger here. Dell went on to say that kids are smart, though. They know how to take a picture of the picture, a snapshot of what is on their phone screen. And there, they could keep the picture for good that way. And often they'll send explicit pictures, and they'll think that they're going to disappear on the other end of the line. And then the next thing they find out, it's on Facebook or Instagram or some other social media. And he said the parents will call and they're scared to death, saying, what do we do? Brother Dale said it's like trying to put toothpaste back in the bottle, in the tube. It's just too late. It's too late. And he feels bad for the folks, but he says he has to wonder who gave him the phone. Who's the one that pays the bill? Who's the one that let them have the access to these applications? You see, the buck stops here with us as parents. Most children cannot afford this on their own. Dale said sometimes those pictures are used for blackmail. He said, say like a boy likes a girl and he gets a hold of a naked or provocative picture of her. So when he wants to, he can use it as blackmail. If you don't meet up with me and have sexual relations, then I'm going to post this photo to the entire school. And then he has her. I want to encourage young people, if that ever happens to you, it's best to fess up and fess up fast. Because you may be with that person, but guess what? What's to stop them from sending the picture anyway to the school? I mean, if they can blackmail you, they can lie to you. They're not a great, stellar example of morality. Don't believe them for a second. Fess up and fess up fast. I pray this never happens any here. But it just shows how easy it is to get into so much trouble so quickly. It's not even funny. Instagram is a social media app where you share photos. And your teen's locations can be visible to strangers very, very easily. Oftentimes young folks use it to follow supermodels or other famous people, Hollywood stars. People of the world that are just downright evil in their lives and the things that they promote and the agendas that they stand for. And yet your kids can follow them and know all about their lives. I think of what was said in Exodus 23 and verse 2, where God says, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Now, he wasn't talking about Instagram following, but it certainly applies. Don't follow a multitude to do evil. Kick, Dale says, is a highly sexualized, inappropriate content app. They exchange videos and pictures, and it has no parental controls. And predators use it because they don't have to be authenticated. And his text messages, he said, are not logged. WhatsApp can also have that feature as well. So again, parents can check, and they're not seeing anything there because the kids have been smart enough to figure out a way for all that to disappear and be hidden. They're actually saying now that a lot of these apps are used more often to access pornography content than actual dedicated pornography sites for the first time. So we have all kinds of young people having all kinds of access. MeetMe or Omegle, he said, are havens for sexual predators and drug users. Secret or Whisper is used to share secrets anonymously about people that you know. So you can see kids doing that at school, and that's often what falls under the definition of cyberbullying. They gossip about others, and there's no reprisal because it's all done anonymously. But Whisper also lets you chat with others in your geographic area. So again, kids know you're nearby other kids, or predators know they're nearby your kid. I heard that Yik Yak lets you chat with users within a 5-mile radius. How's that for being in your backyard? Kids, in this day and age, are all about instant messaging and texting messages. This is very, very a big height for them at this present day and time. They say from the ages of 18 to 24, they average 128 texts a day. And younger, it's more. From ages 13 to 18, they say anywhere from 200 to 300 text messages a day. So they found ways to send these messages, and now clever ways in which they can do that very covertly, so that nobody can know what they are talking about or the things that are going on. And these developers, the app developers, have made it so. Inventors of evil things, I'm telling you. And children sometimes resent parents when they're trying to find out, what are you talking about? What's going on? Well, why do you know about my privacy, they say. Well, now I'm really curious. What do you have to hide from me? I'm your parent. Why would you try and withhold with what's going on right there from me? And yet, that's a very common discussion that takes place in many homes. And I'm talking Christian homes. You see the calculator there at the top? That's not actually a calculator. Well, actually it is a calculator. It'll do calculations. But its intent, as you see the flap of the calculator coming up, is that it's actually a secret vault. It works like a calculator. If you were to punch it, it would have, you know, plus, minus, divided, times. It will do all the calculations. But to the child that's put that on their phone, they are aware that if they put in the correct sequence of numbers, it opens up a secret vault where they can have pictures and videos, various internet websites that they might attend, and all of that is hidden in this particular vault. Parents, you should know that your child's smartphone comes already with a calculator. And so if you find there more than one calculator on it, this is what's going on. One of those is a secret vault. Most likely, that's exactly what's going on. Ways in which they can hide these things from the prying eyes of a parent. I just recently preached this in Franklin to get it warmed up for y'all, and was informed recently of a new app that has come out called TikTok. And so I did my research on it. And sure enough, it is very hot. They actually say it's the most downloaded app for the iPhone to date. It says that it's a video-based social media tool, very popular with children under age 16. And what takes place is that predators often can send messages to teens and children without reprisal. They don't get kicked off TikTok. Users often post scantily clad videos of them dancing. Sometimes they post pornography. This app has been taken serious in certain countries. It is banned in Indonesia. It is banned in India, a country that has billions of people, and they've banned it. Even the U.S. Army has banned it from it being in their division, in their branch. I've learned from my children that they actually even had a class discussion. My children don't even have smartphones, but yet a lot of their peers do in fourth grade, and they had a class discussion if TikTok was appropriate. Thankfully, majority of them said no, that wasn't the case. So there's all these various tools that are out there today that young people are utilizing and get a hold of. And sadly, often what takes place is that our children feel the pressure from their peers if they don't have it. And then they start to put the pressure on the parents. Why? Can we please, please, please? And many cave into that. We have to remind our children that no, we are not the same as the world. We are different than the world. We are set apart from the world. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. God has told us this in Psalm 4. Psalm 4 and verse 3. Psalm 4 and verse 3. The Bible says very loudly and clearly, but know that the Lord has set apart for Himself him who is godly. So God's intent is for us to be different and set apart from the world. We're not going to let them be our standard. We're not going to let the world dictate our parenting. Don't feel that your kids have to have it because they say they want it or they need it. Or pull this card on you and say, I can't do school without it. They know what to say. Oh, well, I'm concerned about your schooling. I want to make sure my kid excels in schooling. And so if that's what you say you need, don't buy it, friends. Don't buy it. And if these apps become a mandatory thing for school, I want to tell you that there are worse things in life than your kid getting a bad grade. It's called eternal hellfire. And God has commissioned us as parents to do all that we can to not put summon box before them so that they might fall into these traps. We got to do our best to train our kids. And good grades, while it's important and while it's nice, it is not. It is not a standard by which God's going to judge us on that great day. He's not going to say to you, why did you let your child get the C+ in that class? He won't. But what he might say is, why'd you let them have that app? Why'd you let them have that tool? You knew it's danger. Why would you do that? You restrained them not. Just like Eli did with his children. He didn't restrain them. See, that's something God may hold us in account for. So real quickly, there are some things that parents need to be aware of. We need to understand that we need to be nosy to a degree. We really do. Maybe not even to a degree. We need to be nosy. We need to dive right in there. Proverbs 29:15 talks about the danger of a child left to his own. And that's often what parents do. Hey, Johnny, Sue, just take the tablet. Go over there and just do your own thing. And they do. Whatever they want to do. Now, we need to be better than that. The Bible also tells us that parents need to manage their house well. 1 Timothy 3 is used for elders, but we know that that's something that God would have for all parents, all Christian homes, that we'd manage them well in dignity, in all reverence, not irreverence. 1 Peter 2:11, parents should help teens abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. There is a war going on. And if you don't realize it, you better wake up and smell the coffee. It is going on. And I tell you, on this subject today, the devil is eating our lunch on. It is in the church. He is eating our luncheon. Abstain from fleshly lusts at war against the soul. I'm not sure if it's fitting on the screen there, but in Mark 9, verses 42 and 43, the Lord tells us that we need to make sure that we don't ever put anything that's before a little one that would cause them to stumble. Now, we don't read that oftentimes with the context of parents to children, but what better context would it fit? With our little ones, why would He put something before them where they could stumble into sin? The Lord said it'd be better for us to hang a millstone around our neck and be cast into the sea. That's graphic. That's violent. But the Lord, His heart is with the little ones. He wants godly offspring. He wants them back one day. So we have to do everything in our power to make sure that that takes place. I don't care who paid for that smartphone that your kid has. Even if they paid for it, they're your kid, therefore it's your phone. Make sure they know the rules for the phone. And if they don't hold to those rules, then bye-bye. Let it go. Brother Dale said, he hears all the time, I cannot believe my sweet so-and-so would say something like that. He says they're floored. Parents are in disbelief that their sweet child could say something or post some of these things or do some of these things. He said, but in high school, the temptation is there to lead a double life, to seek to be cool and to talk like them and do what they do. How true that is. You might think back to your childhood. Remember those pressures. Remember what that's like. Our children feel it the same as well. They're human beings too. And these apps, like I said, are being used more and more to access pornographic content. I want to share with you something that was posted a year ago by a sister in Christ in her 20s. And she posted it publicly, so I feel safe to share this with you all. She said, I would like to talk about this for a second. Number one, as someone who has been into video games for more than half my life. Number two, as someone who has a porn addiction. And number three, as a mother. So if you're concerned about your child and the internet, please read this and hear me out. I promise this is all said with sincere concern and love, not as a criticism to anyone in particular, just to open some people's eyes as to what is dangerous. She said, "My earliest memory of having a sexual encounter was at the ripe age of 9 years old. Let me repeat, I was 9. It was in an online chat room. My parents allowed me to play games, but the rule was that the chat had to be turned off. The problem was that as a precocious 9-year-old, it was relatively easy to see how my parents turned it off, and as a curious child, I turned it back on. I ended up in the teens only chat room, where other members had no idea that I was a child. There arose a situation where a male user asked me to go into a private chat room with him, which I did. He kept asking me to do certain sexual things. From then on, I remember always having an incredibly huge interest in all things sexual, which I believe is what led to my developing a porn addiction later in my teen years." Then she said, "Fast forward 10 years with me. And I was babysitting an 8-year-old boy whom I'd known his entire life. He wanted to show me his tablet. I saw one of the internet tabs that said something explicit. So I asked for the tablet and I opened him. He had been looking at hardcore porn. Porn so hard that it usually is the kind you have to pay to see. He became super embarrassed and started crying and trying to hide inside his shirt and behind a pillow. He wouldn't look at me for the longest time. He didn't understand it all, but he knew enough to be ashamed. It turns out his 10-year-old cousin had showed him these sites, so he started looking at them too." What I want you to note is the ages. She was 9 when she first got her first encounter. This young boy was 8, and the cousin was 10. 8, 9, and 10. What was once harder to obtain is now so easy that a baby can do it. A child can do it. So with here, I want to transition to the dangers of internet pornography. You might recall, if you were younger, that the only way you could access some of this in our day and age was to go into the gas station where they had the blacked off magazine rack. The video cassette stores that had the room that was fenced off with a curtain. Gone are those days. It's just a click of a button or a touch of an app away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want us to see how this is not honoring to God at all. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," notice, "our set apartness to God, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." God's desire is that we practice abstinence from that kind of lifestyle. Verse 4, "that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." He's talking about our bodies as if they're these vessels. And these vessels that we house us and house our soul should be possessed in sanctification and honor. And what takes place in pornographic material and pornography, all these things, is the exact opposite of all of that. It is, as verse 5 says, in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who don't know God. He goes on to say in verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore he rejects this, does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit." God takes this as a personal affront. When we go our own way and dive into these kinds of things and feed that fleshly appetite, God says, "Make sure you understand this. You don't reject man. You reject me." The Bible says in verse 6, the middle of that verse, "The Lord is the avenger of all such." You don't want to taste the vengeance of our Lord. This is something very, very serious to God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Peter 2 and verse 14. Here Peter said that certain individuals had eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. Notice, way before the digital age, the digital revolution, that we see that this was something that could take place to people, where they can have this insatiable desire to keep looking and keep looking and keep looking and keep looking, to the point where it becomes an addiction and they cannot cease from sinning. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Matthew 5 and verse 28, the words of our Lord ring loud and clear here. He says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." How serious is this to God? Verse 29, "If your right eye cause you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell." Now we know he's speaking hyperbole here. He's saying, here's the extent you want to be willing to go. There's nothing worth losing your soul. And if he'd asked us to part with the eye, how much more so that which the eye looks upon? If it means smashing the tablet screen, then you do that. Cutting off the internet access, then you do that. If he'd ask us to cut out the eye. Because when there's addictions that take place, it takes some radical adjusting that has to happen in one's life to begin to cut that out. To get rid of it. Porn is a $57 billion industry. It crushes the revenue of all major sports combined. And just wrap your head around that. By ages 8 to 16, 90% have viewed it online. 90%! With the average age of 11 being the age for first exposure. I've been told that the industry works hard to attract 12 to 17-year-old boys when the brain is still not yet hardwired, so they can form that addiction early and have lifelong customers. As I said, pornography is a huge problem, and it's in the Lord's church too. Art Adams is an evangelist, a preacher, who also works with individuals that are addicts, various different types of addictions. He's an addiction counselor. And all the various emails and messages that come across his plate, he said he roughly estimates 1 in 4 men in the church have a problem with pornography. Isn't that tragic to hear? I don't know how accurate that is, but he would have the best guess. 1 in 4 men in the church. This is hurting churches, as now some churches wrestle with, does this give one lawful cause for divorce and remarriage? Sexual sins via a computer screen. Seeing pornography. I don't think it does give one lawful grounds for divorce. But the point is, it causes controversy in the church. Sin does that. So it doesn't stay with yourself or stay with your tablet or your computer screen. It has far-reaching tentacles. It gets into your home. It affects your family life. It affects the church. It affects the brethren. That's the way Satan works. Pornography has been proven to change the brain. They've taken scans and images and see how it parallels very closely to a drug addict. This is one thing that Art Adams said. This is a chart that I borrowed from here. Is that the pattern's very much the same with someone that's addicted to drugs. Each image brings them closer and closer to addiction like a drug. They all try to get back to the original high. And so they go back again, back again, back again. But it changes their baseline each time. So that they need some greater hit to get the greater high. With drugs, it means an increased dosage. With pornography, it usually means harder and harder porn. Riskier and riskier behavior. Where eventually, it may become child pornography. Or they become predators and they seek out your child or my child. Brother Adams says, it's not where you start out, where you end up. Where you start is not where you end up. There's no natural stopping place because you've built up an appetite for this. So this is how people become predators. They've fed the inner monster for so long that they become warped and twisted. They're no longer the same person they were at the beginning. And then they have no problem coming after your child or mine. Nightline used to have this show called To Catch a Predator from 2004 to 2007. And I was glued to my set and watched this with horror. I just couldn't believe what was being done by these individuals, these people that would come into these houses. What Nightline would do is that they would set up a chat window and they would pose as a younger child. And they'd begin sexting with these older men. And then they'd schedule a time to meet and to come together. And I remember watching these men sometimes would just walk right in the house. I mean, just blazing right in, looking for that child. And then instead they'd find Chris Hansen, who would say, "Excuse me, Chris Hansen's my name, Dateline NBC. Would you please have your seat over there?" I remember this gentleman right here was a rabbi. He got sentenced to 6 years in prison. That's not enough, if you ask me. What he would have done with the child if it would have been an actual situation, that is not enough. So sad. These kinds of situations happen in our neighborhoods, even in small town Franklin. Dale Adams tells of a 16-year-old girl who was lured into a relationship with an older man. And she went willfully with him because she said, "He loves me and I love him." And so she would communicate with her parents via an app that did not reveal her location. Eventually, Dale, working together with the FBI, was able to catch this man. He was out of state. They found him and her in a hotel room. And what the man was doing was essentially prostituting her, videotaping it, and then posting it online to make money. And she called that love. Warped and twisted. This is the reality that we live in. This is the day and age. And it does no good for us to put blinders on and to not believe it. It's happening all over the place. None of this is a game. It has very long-term consequences that can even land one in jail. Dear friend, if you're looking at pictures of minors or you take them, do you like the color orange? Because you're going to wear it one day. That orange jumpsuit, that's where it'll land you. You might remember Jared Fogle, the once famous face of Subway, for nearly 15 years. And that's where he's at, behind bars right now. Charged for having sexual relations with minors, receiving and distributing child pornography as well. Friends, it's real hard. It's really hard to get youth children to look long term. It's challenging for them. But you have to do this with your children. You have to. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Listen, "that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Parents want that for their children more than anything, to live long, have a good life, a peaceful life. That it may be well with them. And so we have to set the boundaries, and then our children are expected to obey those boundaries. And they have to understand that it's for their good that they can have this long, happy life. Looking short term, they don't see that often. So that may mean you have to be the bad guy for a little while. So then in the long run, you can be the good guy. That's the important thing. You need to tell your children that if you post nude selfies, even willfully, as young as age 8, that at the age of 16, then you're supposed to be registered as a sex offender for the rest of your life if you're caught. Imagine that, just an 8-year-old child making a stupid mistake. And that's it. And if that photo makes it across state lines, you're now a federal offender. How would you like to be going to the police station for regular checkups and logins every time you move? How would you like to be unable to live near a school or a park or playground the rest of your life? See, this is as serious as a heart attack. You want your kids entangled in that? Me neither. So we have to get them to understand the great consequences that come along with playing with this particular fire. And parents, you also need to look seriously at filters and limits. Parental controls on every device. You need to be aware of it. Our children, they only get to actually play the tablets once a week, Monday. In fact, they were kind of sad we're having a gospel meeting today because, you know, this is the Monday. This is iPad Monday, the one day a week. Sorry. But with every app that's downloaded, we have to have a password before it can be downloaded. Every single thing. We're very cautious of what is actually on those devices. So there should be no unfettered access to YouTube or Safari or Internet Explorer, these various kinds of things. Filters will help along those lines. Covenant Eyes or Q Studio are a couple of filters you could do your research on. Personally, our family uses Circle from Disney, and it actually has ability to still monitor their content away from home. So it's not just a local network, but even when they're out on the cell phone signal, their content can still be monitored. However, we also understand that there are times things can sneak through almost the best of filters. So ultimately, the best filter is a good and honest heart. We've got to develop that conscience in our children and develop it young so that they feel the pinch, that they feel the sting when they violate it, and they say, no, I want to turn away from that. Proverbs 4:23 says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So I want to get that filter right. I want to train that one well. Job said in Job 31, verse 1, I've made a covenant with my eyes to not look upon a young woman. The psalmist says in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Oh, let that be our motto all the same, that we develop the right filter within. Well, we've talked about the App Store dangers, the danger of internet pornography. With the remainder, let's talk about the root of the problem and the lasting remedy. I believe the root of the problem ultimately stems from this, and that is fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. They're seeking fulfillment. Everyone's seeking fulfillment in some way, in some manner. And unfortunately, they're seeking it from their peers and not from Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's important for us to note that we'll never find fulfillment, true lasting fulfillment out of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul says, food for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy it both in them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You know why God designed our body, your body and mine? It's for His glory. That's the purpose. That's a reason for being made. That's where you're going to find the ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment. Not for sexual sins. There's going to be an emptiness there. It's like a cup that can never be full. It's got a hole at the bottom. Because the body was not made for sexual immorality, but made for the Lord. In John chapter 4, in John the 4th chapter, Jesus here speaks with a woman by the well. He asked her for a drink, but the truth is He was wanting her to ask Him for a drink. And Jesus says in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus says, I'll offer the water that satisfies. And who is He offering that to? A woman overcome with sexual sins. She'd been in 5 previous marriages. No fulfillment, no happiness. Jesus, if you just ask for me, if you come and search after me, seek after me, I'll give you that happiness. I'll give you that fulfillment in life. A water, a well that never runs dry. In John chapter 7, In John chapter 7, there in verse 37, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Water that satisfies ourselves, but also touches the lives of others as well, and can bring satisfaction to others in their souls. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In John the 10th chapter, in John chapter 10, in verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You see, it's Satan that seeks to destroy our lives. He's the one that allows these things to take place that radically change them forever. But the Lord came that we might have abundant life, satisfied life, true fulfillment. Much of the younger generation lives in a virtual reality where their world is seen through the eyes of their apps and their media. This leads to a need to be accepted from their peers digitally, accepted from their peers, their friends and boyfriend and girlfriends digitally. In reality, the selfie where these individuals, and it's kind of sad, you see them before the mirror and this kind of, you know, forced smile, and they take the picture or this pose that they have. The selfie really ultimately is just the lonely. It's just the lonely. Because they're hoping to post it and just see how many likes they're going to get, how many thumbs up they're going to get, and then that's going to determine how they're going to feel about themselves. They want to hear how good they are, how pretty they look. They're thinking about their outfit. They're thinking about their looks. Friends, all of this is anti-Christian. Because Christianity is boiled down to two laws. God first and others second. Well, what about yourself? Jesus said, deny yourself. You are not the focus. No wonder so many are so sad. They've not listened to Jesus. And they make themselves the focus of everything. I'm not saying it's wrong to take a picture of yourself. But you and I know, you see the feed, there's some that do that all the time. It's all about the self. We are in a great world experiment at this time. I mean, we are still on the cusp of seeing the consequences of this technology that we have, this access that we have. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have my children involved in some kind of experiment where we don't know the outcome to it yet. But they're starting to see some pretty devastating things. Did you know that there's been a 50% increase in clinical depression for children, for young people? A 50% increase in clinical depression from 2011 to 2015. It's amazing. What we've seen is more loneliness, more hopelessness than before. These devices that are supposed to connect us have really been shown to disconnect us. We have to tell our children that they must understand that you are not your login ID. You are not your technology, your Facebook account, your Twitter account. You are you! And too many kids have put too much stock into this. And it's all vanity and grasping for the wind. It's out there in cyberspace. But it doesn't come into your space and let you let it. And too many have let it. And so we see an abundance of sexual immorality and suicide and mutilation, anxiety, cyberbullying. Did you realize that that term didn't even exist 5-6 years ago? And now 3 million kids per month miss school because of cyberbullying. And 20% consider suicide. 4,500 kids a year. And we're worried about coronavirus. The devil is eating our lunch in this. I preached this in Texas just last year, and there was a principal there, and he came and he said, "You're absolutely right. It happened to one of our students this year. Committed suicide. He said, we really don't know what we got on our hands. We don't know how to get a hold of it. We don't know how to control it. And I'm hearing, I questioned this staff at in Franklin as well. They don't know how to control all these things. It's their own personal device. The kids bring it. They're not supposed to have it out. But still, a lot of them still do. And the connections that they can have. It's out of control. So tell your children, you are not a digital you. You are you, and you, the real you, will stand before a real God one day and give a real account of how we used our body and where we spent our time and focus and energy. Was it for Him, or was it vainly for us? Indulging in self and the selfies or the lonelies. When it takes hours of your day and you can't live without a tweet update, a Snapchat selfie, you are on the cusp of using and losing your life for the wrong purpose. Where the virtual world is your real world. Are you surprised that we live in an era where school shootings happen nearly every month? And you see the uptick of them. That first iPhone developed in 2007, and there's just this uptick. 25 school shootings last year. I checked for this year, already up to 6. Kids are becoming driven by their own addictions into this cyber life, video game life, smartphone life. It's all digital. It's all empty. And eventually the digital spills out into the real world and it meets with devastating consequences. And that's why you can have kids pick off other kids from 50 yards and not think about it. They've been doing it in Call of Duty all their life. So what is the remedy to all this? Because the truth is, the apps come and go, they change. Like I said, I had to add in TikTok for this particular lesson. So what is a lasting remedy? Because technology is going to keep changing. So I've got 4 points that I'm going to share with you before we close, that I believe this remedy is permanent. First thing is that you need to meditate on things above and train your family to do the same. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says to set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God. So we have to do that. Put our affections and cares up there. And Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There, verse 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything of virtue or if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You plant your mind there. You let it mull over in the recesses of your thoughts and you dwell on these things. Friends, in just a few short words from God's book, it takes away all those other desires to be planted on those thoughts of the world and those cares of the world. Your word, I've hidden my heart that I may not sin against thee, the psalmist said. So the solution is not to get rid of all of our technology. It's what do you meditate on? What do you put your heart into? Because anything can be abused. Money can be abused. Businesses can be abused. Cars can be abused. Internet can be abused. All of it can be abused. So know the dangers and use it righteously. And we use it righteously when we have our mind meditating on the right things. So we need to focus more on the things above and make that a priority in our home. Second, make sure that Jesus is the joy of your home. Take that family time to worship together, to sing together, to read Scripture together, to train your children. That's a perfect opportunity. Have our boys, Brandon or Austin, hey, why don't you go ahead and read some from the Scriptures or a short story book. Make sure that they understand that Jesus is the joy of our home. He's the one that we should seek to get the thumbs up from, the likes, the appreciations. You know, Jesus sends a friend request, John 15:14, I am your friend, if you do whatever I command you. So it's a friendship with condition. We're willing to submit to Him and that He'll be the one that keeps us company. And with Him, we're never alone. We're never alone. He's always by our side. Look at this beautiful verse in John chapter 14. John 14. You've been a very good audience. We'll be wrapping up very shortly. John 14 here in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." Listen to this. "And we will come to him and make our home with him." Oh, with the Lord, you're never alone. In fact, you're not just not alone. You have a beautiful relationship, a fellowship that's so sweet and so dear. It's as if he has come into our very dwelling to abide with us. Make that your soul's satisfaction for your home, for your children. Number three, spend more time as a family. Often these devices are used as an outlet for boredom and loneliness, and it solves neither one of them. So look for activities to do as a family, away from technology. Maybe go to gospel meetings together like this, right? There can be spiritual outings. There can be secular ones. We talked about Camp Noah this afternoon. You know, there's all kinds of things. I mentioned karate we used to do as a family for a little while. Things you do together away from these devices. And fourth, don't shy away from the topic of pornography and sexting. I've realized and come to learn that curiosity kills the cat with this. You got to take the mystery out. And I know it feels bad because you feel like, oh, I'm ruining their innocence. You have to understand this. We have to understand this. The children are all talking about this at the earliest of ages and stages. It's in the school. It is. And I'm talking as early as first grade. Some of these things coming out and you hear. And so that's one thing that we've tried to do in our home, especially as they go into the next year. Always, every single time, every summer, we sit down at each one individually and begin to have the talk. The birds and the bees, and you think, it's so young. Yes, it is, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather them hear it from someone that loves their soul than someone that's worldly and doesn't give a care about it. They're going to hear it one way or the other. It might as well be from me, the one that can guide them and steer them along these things. Take the mystery out of it. Tell them about the open, harmful, long-term effects to the body, the soul, the mind, the spirit, the emotion. It gets into the very psyche. If you don't, their peers will. This is the remedy. It'll last. It'll fill the void. And so we've discussed tonight these various things right here. The App Store dangers, the danger of internet pornography, the root of the problem, and the lasting remedy. You've been kind enough to listen to me through this long discourse. Hopefully you understand that you can go to heaven without a computer, without a TV, without a smartphone, but you and I can't go to heaven with sexual sins on our record. Not without repentance and forgiveness. And I'm sad to say that some adults, some teenagers are going to miss heaven because of that. So is it worth it all? Unsupervised, unfettered access to the internet, to game playing, to social media. Is it worth it all? At what age can they responsibly use technology? I'll tell you, each family has to decide on their own. I've decided for mine, and I'd be happy to share with you our opinion about those things. It's pretty strict. But may God bless you with wisdom from above. Pray about it. James chapter 1 says we can ask God for wisdom and He will give it to us. Treasure your children. You only get one shot with them. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, would you be willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ Jesus? He loves you. He came to this earth. He died for you to save you from a tragic eternity in hell. So why not return your love to Him with your obedience? Forsaking your sin and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If as a child of God, you've forsaken Him, maybe in regards to one of these things we talked about tonight, your job is to repent and come back. That means you need to cease that sin. You need to put it away from you. You take the measures that's necessary to cut yourself off from it. Starve the monster and it will die. But if you feed it, it will live. Are you willing to repent tonight? And maybe we're not engaged in this, but we have to be reminded about our serious duty as parenting. Remember this. God has blessed us with a beautiful gift in our children. Our children are a gift from God. And He wants them back one day. We have to do everything in our power to make that happen to the best of our ability. And He'll aid you and He'll strengthen you. And if you need prayers from the saints, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.